Before the lesson this morning, just one more announcement that we forgot to mention to Brother Bill. My niece, my mother's 6th grandchild, Nellie, she was born with some medical complications. Her skull did not close all the way, and there's a small fluid-filled sac on her head. And so they had to do MRI imaging and everything like that. And there is a surgery planned for her on Wednesday. You know, the doctors and surgeons and everything preparing the best they can. Everything is about as optimal as it can be, but there is still a great risk in the surgery. So please keep her in your prayers. Also, thank you for the prayers for me while I was out. I've worked at a doctor's office for about 9 months now. And Sunday, I said to myself, you know, for being around all these sick people all the time, I haven't really gotten sick yet. And then the next day, I had a little bit of a tickle in my throat. Didn't think anything about it. And then the next day, I started having a little bit of pain in my back. And I was like, I haven't been lifting anything. And I said, before I go to church on Wednesday and, you know, be around all these people, let me get a test just in case. Came back positive. That night I started feeling real cold. The next day I felt real bad, so I did go and get the infusion. And if I felt as bad as I did with the infusion, I couldn't have imagined it without it. So the infusion is pretty widely available now. You know, tell your friends, family, anyone that has COVID. If you do have symptoms, you know, some people are asymptomatic, but if you are having symptoms, seek out one of the locations where they are giving the infusion, because it can help a lot of people, help keep people out of the hospital or from just feeling worse than they would. But on that same tune, that means that I couldn't preach last Sunday. You know, that was kind of how the schedule was. That was what people were expecting, but I failed them in that, and I was unable to be here to preach then. Now, that is an example of something that is, you know, almost completely out of my control, but I was in some way letting people down in that way. They could not be relied on to give that sermon due to things that were, you know, almost completely out of my hands. But that's still an example of how we as people can be untrustworthy. Or not really untrustworthy. Unreliable, I should say. We as people, we understand that you can't always trust people 100%. Even if they're, you know, the best, very dependable, very hardworking, very studious. Things happen sometimes, and their promises, their duties go unfulfilled because of that. Now, we got to think, you know, that's fine. We got a better lesson than I would have preached from Brother Tim last week, but let's think about something a little bit more serious. Our lives. Now, I am planning on going into a career in healthcare, so I hope that you will in some way put your health in my hands one day. But whenever we're talking about our lives, much more than our earthly lives, our eternal lives, is there somebody that we can put our hope in here on this earth? Is there some man that you think, oh, well, something's not going to come up with him, and they will be able to be dependable for your soul? I might be able to think of one man, but he was a little bit more than just a man, being Jesus Christ. And that is what my sermon is about this morning. That hope that we need to have on things above not on this earth. We need to have a hope that is far beyond any hope that we can have here on this earth. And to start, I will read the definition of hope. Now, whenever you go and look up these definitions, you can find multiple definitions. A lot of times, some words, you know, you'll have 8-10 different definitions for the same word. But with some dictionaries, it does differentiate that words change in meaning over time. So looking here from the Oxford Dictionary, we see hope, a noun, a feeling of expectation and desire for a certain thing to happen. So that is this idea of what we see today. You know, we kind of think about that. Oh, I hope I get that new job. Oh, I hope my favorite sports team wins. Oh, I hope, you know, whatever. But then we look at the different definition that they have for it, which is referred to as the archaic, which means that this is an older definition that the word really doesn't correspond to anymore today. And that definition is a feeling of trust. Now, if we think back on the Bible, especially the King James Version of the Bible, whenever they were translating this, that would have been the definition that they were basing this on, that hope is a trust that you can have. Whenever you place your hope in something, it is a trust in that thing. So, what is there to hope for? One verse that I unfortunately left off of the slide, Romans chapter 8 and verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? So we see there that things on this earth aren't really to be hoped for. That's not something that we should strive for, because that's something that is here. It's not really anything to hope for. That's something that is seen, according to this verse. And the things that we should hope for are unseen, that thing being our salvation mainly. So whenever we think of hope, according to this verse, should we be hoping, you know, oh, well, I really hope that my life here on this earth is pretty good. Oh, I hope I have a nice car. I hope I have a nice house. I hope I have a nice job. No. We should, whenever we think of that hope that we have, I mean, and certainly wanting those things, there's nothing wrong with that. But whenever we think of hope, we need to be putting our sights a little bit higher. Here reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at these things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So they're once again kind of reiterating from that verse that I just read. And it's saying that hope that we have is that we will be raised up one day with Jesus Christ to ascend into heaven. That is the thing that we should hope for. That is what we should set our sights for. Not things lowly here on this earth that are temporary, but we should be setting our sights, our hope, on that thing that is eternal, that thing that is the salvation that we can have through Jesus Christ. Now, going back to the song that we sang just before the lesson, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less, in it gives allusions to this parable, so I will now be reading the parable of the wise and foolish builders. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So this is the reference in the course of that song. We just sang and I've already forgotten the words. But on Christ the solid rock I stand. That is in reference to this parable here, in which Christ is that rock. Christ, God's word, it is the foundation that we need to build ourselves upon. Because if we do not build ourselves upon that, whenever the adversity in this world comes in, whenever all the dangers, all the tribulations and the trials that we face come, we will fall like the house that was built upon the sand. We must build our house, our faith, our hope on that rock that is Jesus Christ. And we also have to acknowledge that there's only one source of hope. As I stated earlier, there's no man here on this earth that can do the things for you that we should hope for. That thing that we should hope for that we've talked about is eternal, and that is salvation. And no man here on this earth can do that. You can like any man in the world, no matter how great he is, he will never be able to, if we place our trust in them, we will never be able to accomplish that salvation that we can have in Jesus. Reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So here also hearkening back to that parable of the builder, in which we see that Christ is that foundation that we have to have in our lives if we too are to have salvation, and if we are to achieve that hope that we have in salvation, in eternal salvation. So what happens when we trust in something else? Well, certainly something that I've thought about a little bit recently. You know, football season just started up. Louisiana Tech had a pretty good year last year. LSU had a pretty good year a couple years ago. But already we are seeing people turn against those same people that they praised last year, the year before. They were saying, oh, Coach O, he's our man. He, you know, got it. We had this incredible season because of him. And oh, Louisiana Tech's coach, oh, the coaches, the offensive coordinators, they're all doing such a great job, and look how good a year we had because of them. And already we're seeing this year people turning against them. I've seen people call for the resignation of almost the entire Louisiana Tech football staff, and certainly I've seen a lot of hate against Coach Ogeron so far this year. And that is just people instantly turning against these people. And we see that's kind of the thing that we can experience if we put our hope in people, if we put our trust, as that archaic definition of hope is, in people. We can see that, well, the people might fail you in doing this thing that you hoped they did. Oh, we hoped that, you know, we were going to continue to have the best seasons in LSU history on and on and on again. And, oh, well, Coach O wasn't able to do it. So now we're going to turn against them. So, reading on biblical examples of this, starting in Proverbs chapter 13, verses 12 through 13, hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. Whosoever despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. So we see here something that we see throughout the Old Testament and the examples that I'm about to bring up, and then also some in the New Testament. Those that are against the word, they're not the ones getting the reward. Those that are in the word, they have that hope that we're seeking, that eternal hope in salvation, and they will be rewarded for following that word, for keeping that word. And we also see here it saying that if we don't have that hope, we are, as it says, heart is sick. And certainly that can be the case. We look at many people in the world today, and mental health is a very hot topic, and it's something that people talk about more and more and more. And there's a bigger and bigger move of nihilism, which is essentially the philosophy that nothing matters and everything is for naught, and at the end, who cares? Well, what could give people this feeling of everything is for naught, this feeling of anxiety, depression that so many face today? And it's that there is, as it says here, a lack of hope. Those people that go out of the church, those people that aren't in this love that we have, that don't have the same hope that we have, how can they have the same joy that we have? How can they go through life being as joyful as us as Christians should be? How can they have that same hope that we have if they are not in Christ? And I believe that that is a big thing that we're seeing today, that we're seeing as people move away from the church, as people deny God and do not seek salvation. We're seeing more and more people dealing with these issues, and they have nowhere to turn to. They have no hope because they have denied God and they do not have salvation through Christ. Now, looking at some biblical examples of what happens whenever you put your trust in someone else, whenever you say, I'm not going to trust God anymore, I'm going to go do something else, my hope's going to be on something else. Well, we can talk about countless examples in the Old Testament involving Israel. We see, I put here just Deuteronomy, I put first Deuteronomy, and certainly it is the first book of Deuteronomy. It is the only book of Deuteronomy. I apologize. I meant to put Deuteronomy chapter 1. We see through there several examples of God rebuking the Jews there for the things that they've done. We see so many things quickly after they've departed Egypt. And then certainly after the founding of the nation of Israel, we just see more and more time and time again of God doing things for them, and then them turning away from God, them losing that trust, that hope in God, and things befalling them. They fell away from God and they were put into captivity. They fell away from God and they were put through famines. They fell away from God and they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. They fell away from God and they were unable to reach the promised land due to that. They didn't put their trust in God. They put their trust somewhere else. And because of that, they were unable to enter that promised land. And we see with the example of Abraham, he telling people to put their trust in him whenever he rebuked the rock instead of speaking to the rock, and him saying, shall we fetch ye water, O ye rebels? Instead of giving all the glory and telling the people that their hope was in God, he put some of that hope and told them to trust in his abilities when he had none, and due to that, he was also unable to enter that promised land. I'm so sorry. I've been saying Abraham, and that is Moses. So thank you so much. I apologize about that. And then we see in the New Testament, if we don't have the hope and the trust in Christ that we have, we are also going to fall. We read about this literally in Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 through 31. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So we read in this story, this was all the apostles out on a boat, and Christ needed to get to them. And Christ, in his infinite power, he simply walked upon the waters towards them. And Peter, still doubtful, even after seeing all the miracles, even after seeing the miracle of the bread that had recently happened, he said, if that's really you, then let me walk on the water too. If we're not just imagining this, if this isn't some type of trickery, let me walk on that water too. And Peter came down from the boat, and he walked on that water, and because he trusted in Christ and knew Christ's power, he was able to walk. But then whenever he was out on that water, he started to doubt the power that he had already seen, but he doubted that power, and he doubted Christ, so he began to sink. And certainly today, it is also true for us. If we start to fall away, if we start to lose that trust that we have, if our hope starts to wane, we start to sink. And it's very easy whenever that hope starts to wane for us to fall into sin, for us to sink back into that old life that we had before we were Christians, before we had that new life in Christ. So we have to take this as a story for us today also. This is a literal story of him falling, but we also have to think of it metaphorically as how we will fall if we doubt in Christ, if we doubt in God's power, if we don't have that hope in them that we should have. So then, let's say that your hope has waned, or you don't have that hope at all yet. How can you reach towards that hope? How can you have that hope, that joy that we have, that trust in God that you need in order to gain salvation, in order to have that eternal hope? We know that we have to, first and foremost, be one of God's children. We have to be Christians. We read in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So we see here on the day of Pentecost that 3,000 souls were added because they believed. And because of that, they went away rejoicing, and they had this hope for eternal salvation, this true hope, because they were baptized, because they followed Christ and became children of God, renewed through Christ. We know that we also have to follow God's commandments. And we will read this passage especially because it talks about several commandments that if you follow these things and you don't have that hope, then I believe that you're doing something along those lines wrong. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 23. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Something that I wasn't even aware of happening with me until I got here this morning, man, I missed that congregational singing. I missed a Sunday and two Wednesday nights, and boy, oh boy, did it feel good to be here singing with you all today. That praise, that gave me hope. That restored my hope. I didn't even know that I had any waning in hope. But I just was filled up even more this morning being able to sing with you. These things that God commands us, they are not for naught. These things that God commands of us, these acts of worship that we have, they are for us much more than they are for Him. God could send us to heaven no matter what. But those things that he commands us to do, they're for us. These things help keep us from sin. If we are praying every day as we should, we'll have that greater hope, and it will help keep us from sin. If we give thanks, if we think of all those blessings that we have because of God, our hope will be restored, and we will be better equipped to abstain from sin whenever temptation arises in our lives. Those things that God gives to us and commands us to do, they help us. So one of the best ways that us as Christians, us that are already children of God, can do to restore our hope, to keep our hope and that eternal hope of salvation, is to just follow God's commandments. If you're here at worship, if you're following your commandments, if you're reading your Bible, I guarantee you, you will have that hope, and that hope will only grow. So then, moving on from that, now that we know what we need to hope for, what happens if we don't hope and trust in the right person, to know how we can have that hope, moving towards the conclusion of the lesson, I'll be reading two passages. Starting 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 through 15. He that hath the Son of God, because it's referring to Christ, hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And we know that he heareth us. Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So this is why it's important for us to think back to that old definition of hope and not a modern definition of hope. Do we need to have some desire that God, do we just have to sit there and, I really hope that he keeps that promise? No. The hope that we have is a trust in God. It is not a simple desire that God keeps his word. It is a trust that God will keep his word. There is no doubt in this passage. He says that if we are in Christ, we have life. Not, maybe if God's reliable enough on that final day, he'll give us that eternal life. No. It is a confidence. Those things that God has given to us, we can have hope in him. We can trust him because we know that they are true. God is not slack concerning his promises. And the final passage for this morning, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. And that summarizes this lesson very well. We need to keep our mind on those things that are above, those things that are eternal. Let us not put our trust in this world, but let us always keep our hope, keep our trust in God, and hope for that eternal, not that which is temporary here on this earth. We always like to leave off on the plan of salvation for those that don't have the hope that we currently have in Christ. So to gain that hope, we have to first hear the word of God, Romans 10:17, and then hearing that word of God, we not only have to hear it, but we have to believe in what that word says. John chapter 20 and verse 31. Following that belief, we then have to repent of those things that are amiss in our life, those sins that we have in our life, turning 180 degrees, going away from those things. And then after we've repented, we have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And then following that confession, we have to be baptized in Christ, washing away those sins that we had and becoming a new man, Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. And then from there, we have to keep those commandments, and we have to continue to abstain from sin if we are to have that hope. So if there's anyone here this morning that is not in Christ and does not have that hope, or if there's anyone here that has followed the plan of salvation, but you've felt your hope wean in some way, or you need prayers for something in your life, please come forward as we stand and sing.
There's a stranger at the door. Let him in. He has been there oft before. Let him in. Let him in ere he is gone. Let him in the Holy One, Jesus Christ the Father's Son. Let him in. Open now to him your heart. Let him in. If you wait,